Doesn't really need to go
Recording in
on.
progress.
Why are you recording this, freak?
I've become best friends with them.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm festive.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Dear Hollow Heroes. And if you are watching us right now or listening, you can kind of hear a slight difference in everything because we're testing something new. Yes, we've been taking a little bit of a hiatus, and the reason being is Liam has decided to up and leave us, which is so rude of him, to pursue a career in law.
My
Why
bad.
would you do that? We're making so much money on the pod. Why would you want to leave?
I know this wildly successful podcast might have to come to a bit of a halt because I need to, pursue another thing.
Well, the
Right as we
halt.
were gonna start, actually going toe to toe with Joe Rogan.
I know.
Yeah, right.
We got him
Yeah.
worried.
So we are going to try a new format. We're gonna go video will be through Zoom and audio will get better and better as the episodes go on, which is pretty straightforward, obviously. But as always, I'm just Ben Petrick and I'm here alongside Liam Meekman Meekum
What's going on, guys?
and Rob Robespierre Kelly.
Hello.
So I think without further ado, we go straight into the top story. Boston has just swept the Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Dallas Mavericks have put the Timberwolves at the edge with a 3-0 lead. Do you see the T-Wolves making any sort of comeback? And whoever wins the West, how likely are they to beat the Celtics? Now, of course, the T-Wolves play Game 4 against the Mavericks tonight at the day of recording, but, okay, that's a cool
All
picture,
right.
Rob.
Hopefully.
And so if the series were to keep going, like, how likely do you think the T-Wolves have to at least make it a respectable series?
What are we calling respectable?
Six, getting to game six.
They have to win game two then, at least.
Yeah, they have to win two
Get,
games.
Win one or two.
I don't know if they have a great shot.
Do
They
you think
look I don't know. Anthony Edwards looks worn out. It looks like once he had to guard a all-star level guard, he kind of got worn out. He didn't have the energy to play defense and offense. It's a different animal going from Jamal Murray to Kyrie. And we Luka proved that maybe Jaden McDaniels and Rudy Gobert, maybe they're not that good at defense. I mean, he's been exposing both of them. High screen and roll, Jaden McDaniels looked excellent all playoffs. And now he looks like another defender. Rudy Gobert is a traffic cone out there. I don't know if you can realistically win a championship. Any combination of players, if Rudy Gobert is your center, I don't think you can do it.
Every single time I saw him at the top of the arc, I was like, oh, there's a bucket.
He's the biggest traffic cone of all time.
He won Defensive Player of the Year. I feel like you're
And that's
saying
great. He can get blocks, but you have to be a versatile defender. And he's really not.
And of course,
he's a block machine.
In an offensive league, this is my thing. With the two defenders you speak of, and with the offensive league we have, if you're facing an all-star guard, being a person like Jaden McDaniels, like the primary defenders, Dort, Pat Bev, all these like defenders that are defensive minded, when you face an all-star, you're probably not going to look like the
But I think Dort did really well. I think Dort was able to give Luka some problems. Jaden McDaniels hasn't done anything.
And he's guarding Luka, right?
Yeah. And let's also just I didn't touch on this when I mentioned Rudy Gobert. He might be the worst offensive player I've ever seen, aside from maybe Thanasis Antetokounmpo.
Joakim Noah, I'd say.
I mean, yeah, but Joakim Noah could get you a bucket in the paint. Rudy Gobert, he has the touch of a dying ostrich. Bad. It's really bad.
The touch of a dying ostrich.
Have you ever seen him put up a shot? He's like flailing. It's terrible.
So, just to do a quick plug, we've released new merchandise, and it's of all of our faces, and we have a quote underneath it. And if you want a different quote for the shirt, just let us know, because every 21 days I can change it. So if you really want a different quote for one of the faces, all you have to do is message us on social media or email us, and we'll change it. Most likely
Please
we'll
email
change
us.
it. but I would want to put in a vote that the next quote for Liam's shirt is, what is it? That's the touch of a dying
He
ostrich.
looks like he has the touch of a dying ostrich.
Yeah, but then I feel like people would get the impression that's just what like Liam is, you know? Like if
And
they
that's
just
what I
saw the
want them to
shirt.
think.
Right.
That's what I want them to think. So, I and back to Anthony Edwards. Yeah, he said before the series that he was excited to guard Kyrie, but man, as Kyrie didn't really show up against the Thunder and was kind of middling in the first round against the Clippers. He had a couple good games, but
No, he was playing well. I mean, he
he was
was
playing
playing really
well.
well.
He wasn't ever playing bad, but I'm saying like being the offensive threat that we know him to be, it kind of seemed like he was taking a step back for Luka. You know what I'm saying? This series, he's really shown that he's still the Kyrie offensive threat that we've always known and loved. And
I
like,
have to disagree with you a little bit, just because I think what's been really special about these two during these playoffs is that they're never cold at the same time. So whenever, and they both go through cold streaks, they, historically have, and that's what's bumped them out of a lot of playoffs and has hurt them during the regular season. But they have not been cold at the same time. Whenever Luka goes cold, passes to Kyrie, can depend on him for a bucket. And the opposite is true, and it's looked really good.
that is true. And I think a big part of the Dallas offense has just not only has the two guards shown up, but their defense has been way better than people thought.
And their
They
role players are fitting in really nicely.
so good. PJ Washington, of course, against the Thunder was a big factor. They lost
The
Derrick
bigs.
Jones. They did lose Derrick Jones, which might be a little bit of a problem, but they still have their centers. Their two centers have been
Did they
playing
lose
well.
Derrick Jones?
Yeah, but I think if they win, he could be back for the finals.
Okay.
It's like he's like game to game, like a thing. So
Okay.
if actually the longer the series goes, the more likely, and if they still win, he might make it for the Celtics. But he might miss a finals game if they win tonight. So he's a big problem because that's your like number one power forward. But they still have the two centers. PJ Washington's been great. And Hardaway is still trying to find. He's hot and cold, but when he's hot, they've basically got the win.
I
Like
mean,
if
he
he
has what, like 50 points throughout the entire playoffs. He hasn't done.
hasn't done anything, but like his 50 points, he dropped 12. Like not 12, sorry. He drops like 20 in
Yeah.
one. So one game a series, he's gonna go off, and that's just and it's enough, and it's enough, and he's played good defense. So the Mavs seem like a team that's like this is their year. As you
I
watch the
agree.
postseason, you're like this, like you know where you see that magic start to happen? This is their year, but they still got to face, if they win this game tonight, they still got to face the juggernauts of the NBA, which is.
But let's be real. The Celtics have looked beatable. I mean, the Pacers are throwing away games at an alarming rate.
Which brings us to our stat of the week. The Boston has just swept the Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. But just like the Lakers, the Indiana Pacers had a lot of favorable statistics. You know how the Lakers, a couple episodes ago, we mentioned that the Lakers had more time with the lead. Like two-thirds of the series, they had the lead, and they still got gentlemen swept. But in three of the four games, the Pacers have had an 89.5% chance or higher at winning the game. Let's start at game one, where before that miracle Jaylen Brown shot, they had a 97% chance to win the game with a minute left, and they didn't win. And then you go to game three. Game two is just a blowout. The Celtics destroyed them. But game three, the Pacers had, I believe, a 93% chance to win. When they put up such a massive lead in the third quarter, lost the entire lead in the fourth quarter, and lost the game, which was unbelievable. And then they had an 89.5% chance to win in the fourth quarter of game four, and they still lost the game. Or it was late in the third. It was like within the final 15 minutes, and they lost the game. So, is this a testament to the Indiana Pacers failing, or is it a testament to the Boston Celtics playing really good basketball when it matters? Or is it both?
See, gut reaction wants to say it's the Pacers failing. But the Pacers came up clutch against New York They did what they had to do to get here. I mean, it's tough to say that in the conference finals, a team isn't playing well in the clutch. I mean, it's not impossible to say. I mean, they've proved it. They've done it 3 times now, but they've won the games they've needed to get here. So it's not like they're, the worst team in the league here. The Celtics are that good.
I was also kind of say something along the same lines where you make it this far in the playoffs, he's right. How can you be bad in clutch? Now, they have thrown away some amazing moments this series where you're just like, oh, that was just, you just threw that right out, just gone, just gave up on that opportunity. But the thing that the Celtics do so well is just stick with it. Like, there is no stop. And I think that's kind of where Indiana gets hurt, is like they, sure, they pace themselves, but they're lulled.
Oh.
Oh.
That was all set up for a pun.
Yeah, that was horrible, but I'm glad we
He
got there.
had no insight for us. He just wanted to say a pace
No, to
ratio.
speak to that, the consistency aspect of the Celtics, what my problem with the Celtics has been in the past has been how hot and cold they can look. And as a team, they look like that. Like I mentioned Luka and Kyrie before, they're not getting cold at the same time. That was never the case with Jaylen Brown and Tatum. They were either both hot, they were both down. And it led to a lot of astonishing wins and a lot of astonishing losses. And as a result, they haven't gone all the way yet, with this core team, obviously. This year has looked a little bit different. There hasn't been a whole lot of weaknesses in the game. Tatum has looked super consistent throughout the playoffs. Brown has looked, fairly consistent. There's no, oh, he can't use his left hand anymore. He's looked good. And, they still have that, the Derrick White magic off the bench or the Al Horford game where he shoots 5 threes and makes all of them. Like, those role players still step up big time for him. And, it's the consistency that's really making me think that the Celtics really have it this year.
This is another big thing that they have been able to do this. They've swept the Pacers in the time it took them to. They swept the Pacers. I'm sorry, hold on. I'm so sorry. They swept the Pacers without Kristaps Porzingis. So imagine, how are the Mavs going to be able to stop this team that we have now? And then at game two or three, you have Kristaps Porzingis coming back and causing problems there. Now your big men have way more to worry about than just Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
I
So,
will say though, the Mavs do thrive when there is a lot of offense on the court.
kind of, I'd say, but this is a different degree of offense. And
I
also,
agree.
I think the other thing is, people say that they had a Mickey Mouse run, the Boston Celtics. A lot of social media is saying they had a Mickey Mouse run. They did have a very easy go of it. They didn't have to face Jimmy Butler when they faced the Heat. And the second round, who'd they have in the second round?
No,
The
Donovan
Cavs.
Mitchell.
No Donovan Mitchell with the Cavs. And then in the third round, the Pacers were just not matched up well at all for them.
And Halliburton got hurt.
Haliburton got hurt. So when you go to the Dallas series, they're going to face their first fully healthy team. But at the same time, you can go back to Dallas. Let's say they win tonight. Let's say they swept the Timberwolves. They're winning five. It doesn't matter. They faced the Clippers that were very inconsistent throughout the season. I think that's their actual best win, in my opinion, because then they went on to face two teams that were not prepared for the postseason. They really weren't. They had no idea what they were doing, except for Rudy Gobert, who kind of knows, and he's Rudy Gobert. So the playoff experience on these two teams are very minimal. And the Dallas Mavericks have been to the Western Conference Finals before, and they've gone to the second round numerous times. So the Dallas has definitely way more experience than them. And now they're facing a Celtics team that is in the Eastern Conference Finals almost every year since Jason Tatum was a rookie. I don't think they've ever gotten booted out of the first out of the Final Four besides once. So that's another huge factor that, you look at the Mickey Mouse run. Dallas has a lot of benefactors too that got them there.
That's
So
true.
strength of team, all Dallas. Dallas has had to face the more difficult teams. But don't forget that the Thunder, their average age is 22. So It's and the
Good
Timberwolves are
point.
not too far off. So I think that the Celtics should win, but based on history, it seems like it's going to be the Dallas year. That, in my opinion, based on how it's been going NBA wise that I've seen my whole life, Dallas probably will win it. But statistically, it should be the Celtics. But you guys ready for some burning questions?
Let's do it.
Burn, baby, burn.
All right, Rob, I'm gonna need you to describe something for me. Why are we both wearing a Pittsburgh Pirates hat as Yankee fans? Can you explain that for us, please?
We went to a Pirates game this weekend where they played the Braves and they lost 8-1. Oof.
After in the Pittsburgh, we're trying to sweep and they still lost. But while I go grab something really quick, Rob, you got to describe what we saw on the very first inning of that ball game.
So we had, the pleasure of going to the most beautiful ballpark in all of baseball, arguably. It's definitely easily top five, no matter who you talk
This
with.
is what I've
P
seen.
PNC Park, you got, the Allegheny, you got the bridge, the city skyline. It was a beautiful day. Lead off first batter for the Atlanta Braves is Ronald Acuña Jr., who hits a deep ball right towards us out in left field. And it hits the base of the wall. He rounds first. He goes to second. He's got a double to start the game. The crowd is in it. That's a great way to start a game. And then two batters later, when Marcell Ozuna is at the plate, he takes the ball. They go to try and pick off Acuña, and he tears his ACL and goes to the ground. The stadium got quiet quick.
You almost knew what happened. You almost kind of
Yeah,
knew.
dead silent.
Yeah, no, it was hard to not tell right away exactly what happened. He fell awkward. It was the same leg as his previous ACL tear. It's a shame that it's, ACL MVP ACL with someone like Acuña. And then the rest of the game had to happen. That was still the top of the first,
Yeah, we didn't even get out of the top of the first when this happened. We still had to get
We
through
were pretty
Ozuna's at
much still
bat.
walking to our seats. Yeah,
Ozuna
no,
walked, I think.
people were still walking into the stadium. It was a pretty full stadium that day. But the rest of the oops, sorry.
No, keep going.
Okay. But the rest of the game still had to happen. So, the Pirates had to come up to bat the next inning, do nothing. They only scored once in the second inning. And then, the Braves just did what the Braves do, which is put up really good at bats and win ball games. Yeah, they didn't do the first two games, but they did it this one.
Jarred Kelnick, who replaced Acuña, went 3 for 4 anyway. So at least that game, you could
That's a good
argue
backup.
it was a good day. To if Acuña just missed that game, would have worked out very well for the Braves. They just benched him for that game, even though I wanted to see Acuña play. but no, that was really sad. But let's take a look at the Braves, who were the former number one seed in the NL. Let's take a look at the other teams that were top tier teams. You have, yes, the Atlanta Braves, who have lost Acuña for the entire year and have an injury plagued team with a relatively slow start to the season. They were the number one team in the NL last season. Then there's the LA Dodgers, who were the number two seed last season in the NL, who had a glimpse of being the best team in baseball, yet they show signs of playing very poor baseball out of nowhere. They can get swept at any moment, and the bats can go silent, and the pitching can start giving up runs. But and then you have the number one seed in the AL, the Baltimore Orioles, who are playing very well until recently. Some inconsistent baseball has led to them getting swept very recently, and they're definitely the team that's the least worrisome in the coming up question, but they are playing a little worse than normal. And then you have the Astros, who is the number one team in question here. A horrendous start, but they're playing better, but their better is mid right now. So of all the four teams that have not been playing up to their standards about a third of the way through the season, which one do you guys think will be just fine, and which one do you guys see fully collapsing?
I know you kind of mentioned it. The Orioles are going to be fine. Orioles are, listen, this is the first time they got swept in 2 years. They'll be all right. It's a long season. There's a reason it's 162 games. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. It's really the downs that are like you see with the Dodgers that kind of concern me, where you lose five straight with a lineup like that. Sure, you get swept. That's three games. But then you got to take the first game of the next series. You can't lose five straight. That is a gut punch to a team.
Especially projected to be that good too. And I agree with both of your points there. I think the Astros, we can all agree, are probably not fine. Losing Dusty Baker is obviously a big blow
Yeah.
if this is how they're coming out to start the
And he's
season.
really the only big loss of the entire
That's it.
team.
They actually went out and got Josh Hader.
Yeah, they improved.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look good. The Braves, I can see being okay still. I mean, no Acuña for the rest of the year. That's still a really talented team. I mean, if that pitching gets their ERA down a little bit, because I know it's a little high than the years we've seen, they could still, they could still go on a nice little run even without their former MVP.
Last
Not
time they
to
lost Acuña for the season, they won the whole thing. They
exactly.
at the trade deadline they acquired Adam Duvall from the Marlins. They acquired Jorge Soler from who they acquire him from? But they acquired Jorge Soler, Jock Peterson, and one more. They acquired Eddie Rosales.
That's also when they got Will Smith. It's
Yes, they also
important.
got Will Smith, who never has not been on a World Series team in the last 3 years, I think, right?
In the last 3 years, you can't say never. It's
He's never.
very
He was
specifically been
with
the last three years.
Ruth and Gehrig in 27. Come on. Come on, know your facts, man. But the trade deadline is going to be very pivotal for a team like the Braves. With championship aspirations, even without Acuña, what are they going to do? And I think the trade deadline is going to be even bigger for the Baltimore Orioles because they are right now competing with the Yankees to get over the hump of the AL. They have the Yankees to worry about, the Guardians, and maybe the Mariners, maybe, if the Mariners catch fire with their bats. So those are really the top dogs in the AL. So if you're the Orioles, you are competing with probably most likely the Yankees at that trade deadline to who's going to be that missing piece to make us a full-on championship roster. But the Braves are also in that situation too. But I'd say the Dodgers are the one that I'm most concerned about at the moment. But I think the Astros are going to fully collapse soon. They're pretty close, and I think the Baltimore Orioles are beyond just fine. They're at worst going to make it to the ALCS, in my opinion. We all in agreement with our least worried about and most worried about teams.
I would say so.
Yeah, the Dodgers, in my opinion, like, what's wrong with Rob? Do you have any baseball wisdom for us with the Dodgers? Because their hitting has just gone silent out of nowhere.
I think the problem with the Dodgers is the thing that makes the Dodgers so good, is that their lineup is, through and through a really well-constructed lineup, but the expectations are so high. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're going to be good, you have to play with high expectations. It's just how sports work. But they also have kind of this mishmash team that, like, when you look at it, you're like, oh, these are all really good players. But, like, sometimes when I look at it and I see, they recently sent James Outman back to the minor leagues, their center fielder who almost won the NL Rookie of the Year last year behind Corbin Carroll. There's something with the team where it's just not meshing one through nine. Sure, you get one through four, they're meshing fine. They're good. But then you got five through seven. Are they doing anything? Do they only hit when each other's hitting? And then the bottom of that lineup has done nothing. It very much starts at the top and just goes straight down. And
But a
that's
team like that, you really only have to make the postseason. And as long as you've caught fire, you got a good chance to win it all. When you're that talented like that.
Yes, I also think they just need to like fine-tune their bullpen. It's not, bad, but like there's a squeaky wheel in there. And it's hard to say why the Dodgers are bad because you look at them and you're like, no, they shouldn't be. And they just are.
They're kind of like the Dallas Cowboys of the baseball, where you kind of just feel like, and kind of like the Celtics, just except for maybe this year, where you were kind of like, something bad's gonna happen. You know, every year, something bad's gonna happen. You know, they're gonna mess it up somehow. And the only time they didn't was the COVID year, which I like to say it, of course, counts, but to say your championship team was in a COVID year makes you wonder how those benefactors from playing with less fans in the stands, less pressure, maybe might have
Less
helped them.
games.
Less games might have helped the Dodgers in that regard. So they won, which 100% counts, but it was a very different league that year. But besides that, every other year the Dodgers have played, it has kind of been like an accident waiting to happen. Their one championship team that I think was their legitimate one, they lost because of cheating. But besides that, it's just been accident after accident for since 2012. So I always kind of believe that the Dodgers are going to find a way to mess it up, like the Dallas Cowboys and the Boston Celtics. They're going to find a way to mess it all up, no matter how far they go or how good they look. So that's just my opinion on the Dodgers situation. Got anything, Liam?
I'm good.
All right. So, final burning question before we lose Rob. Make sure, Rob, that you message me what your lock and upset is before I forget.
I'll
DJ
just tell you.
LeMahieu returns to the Yankees today while we're recording. He'll already have returned, and he will bat ninth and play third base. If DJ comes back and plays strong, who do you think gets the starting role in the infield, and who gets moved to the bench? So, DJ LeMahieu bats like 280. Hits a home run every 20 at bats, gets a good like 25 at bats, gets a hit almost every day. Goldish glove defense. What's the infield look like now?
Can you define a goldish glove for me?
Goldish glove
Yeah.
means you could be a gold like you like
He's a two-time gold glove winner.
you're a
He's
B, like
what?
A is a gold glove tier defender. B's like a B.
Okay.
Who start? What's the infield look like?
Okay, so right now it's Rizzo at first, Glaber at second, Volpe at short, and then it's going to be DJ at third, right? And it's not going to change. This is what the Yankees have wanted. This is what the Yankees want. They will not change this. This is their, they finally got their textbook offense that they prepared all offseason long. They got their offense, they got their defense. This is, they do not want to change a thing. Like,
I can't help but agree
it's
that
going to
they
be
want
just.
that. They want that for sure. I 100% agree. But John Birdie and Oswaldo Cabrera could really change things. If they outperform DJ or Glaber, they could earn that spot. The both of their all four are fighting for two jobs. And I
Birdie's
feel
on the
like the
IL.
Yankees want it to be, oh, I know Birdie's on the aisle, but they think they want it to be I think they want it to be DJ and Glaber. But Birdie, if he comes back and keeps playing the way he was earlier, I don't think he will, but if he plays like he did earlier, he could really shake things up. But Oswaldo, I just don't think they want Oswaldo to be every day, because I think they want the magic to be off the bench, and that's what they want. But I think Birdie could change things.
Birdie is a good starter on most teams when you don't have DJ LeMahieu or Gleyber Torres. Birdie's good. I'm not saying he's bad, but on this team, he's still going to be a bench piece just based off of how this team works.
Especially because the big thing about Birdie is that he's a utility guy, but that's what DJ does. So it's like he's the second utility guy on a team that is loaded with stars.
And it's not just that he's the second utility guy. Cabrera was their utility guy last year. You got Cabrera and DJ who are been your utility guys. DJ won a gold glove as a utility player for the Yankees. So you're going to rely on that as long as you can. He won a batting title with the Yankees. They're not going to push DJ LeMahieu out of that spot. It's going to take DJ LeMahieu tanking horridly for them to say, all right, we're going to put in Cabrera for a couple of games.
I'd say DJ has a better, more job security than Gleyber Torres. I 100% agree with you on that. I think if someone were to lose their job, it'd be Gleyber Torres. And I kind of agreed where the trade deadline, who do you trade away for pieces? You mentioned that Gleyber Torres would be a big trade away piece, and I see if Gleyber starts to slump but do just enough to still get trade interest, he could probably see them shipping him off, moving DJ to second, and having like Birdie or Oswaldo play third. And you're looking at that
Or
situation,
just trade for a third baseman.
or trade for a third baseman and just have DJ play second. Like probably if the Giants keep playing the way they did, Chapman would be available.
But here's what's going to happen, right? Here's what's going to happen. Gleyber Torres is going to get hot in July, and the Yankees aren't going to want to trade him. Now he's going to get real cold in August, but get hot again in September. But DJ LeMahieu is going to bat 289 for the rest of the season, which is good enough.
So specific.
That happens, I'd be shocked. Okay, dude. Right. We are gonna go to the next segment. Rob, have a do you want to say you're locking upset right now, actually? We'll
Yeah,
do
give me
lock.
what's.
Do you guys have your locks and upsets?
I have
Yeah.
mine.
All righty, all
Come on,
righty.
dude. I'm always prepared.
All right, let's do our locks and upsets right now, all right?
All right. Are you gonna do the whole bit?
It's time for locks and upsets.
Ugh.
No. Happy?
No.
I thought it was just a yes or no question. I didn't think he was going to
I
start
couldn't be
singing.
less happy.
Anyway, my lock of the week is because I need to get some more wins in the lock column. On the 31st, the Dodgers are beating the Rockies in LA.
It'd be such a funny game for the Rockies. It's just, oh, and the Rockies pull away. Oh, man.
Rockies don't win away games.
That would be so
I'll
funny.
go. I'll take in the French handball league, the Star Ligue. I'll
Jesus.
take Paris or Pays University. Take the home at -6,000.
God, it's so specific. I'm going Yankees over the Angels on Thursday, May 30th. I think the Yankees win the
That's
last
pretty
game of the
specific
season.
too.
Oh, whatever. All right, for upsets, what you guys got?
I think it's going to be real upsetting when Paulo Costa beats Dylan Strahan.
Sure.
I can't bet on Paulo Costa. I'm sorry. I got the Royals beating the Twins on Wednesday. Seth Lugo at the bump.
And I have the, I'm sorry, Rangers fans, because we have a lot of Rangers fans, but I have the Panthers winning game five.
Oh, you meant the Texas Rangers.
No.
Or
Yes.
I was like, why
We're
do we
from
have
New
Rangers
Jersey. Why would it be like all the Rangers fans that I know?
I
Texas
don't know. We
Rangers.
have a weird audience.
True. Hi to
I
all
mean
the
that in
people.
the
Our
nicest way
audience, I think our
possible.
audience is great, Rob.
I didn't
Hi
mean that in a
everyone in
bad
Belgium.
way.
You guys are all beautiful. We love you.
All
All
right, I'm
right,
going to
so we're
leave
going to go
before
to
I
game
keep
time. Rob,
insulting
thank
my
you very much. We're going to go to game
you.
time. Rob, thank you very much. All
Later,
righty.
Rob. Kisses.
All right, and we are back with some game time. Yeah. Game time. Game time with just me and Liam. It is going to be a battle between Liam and himself.
Yes.
It's just a battle to test Liam's intelligence. This is what this game is, because it's supposed to be a
Not
Liam
gonna
versus
go
Rob.
well.
But Rob is a simp, so we have to now deal with you just being intelligent by yourself. All right, so
We're
sounds like
unintelligent. Let's not
we're
go
unintelligent.
hang out.
All right, so this is how it's gonna work. You remember through the numbers where I gave you guys a bunch of stats, and you
Oh,
had
God.
to, and you had to guess which player it is. Let's reverse it. I'm gonna give you the player and a statistical category, and you have to guess what number belongs in that stat. So if I just say,
No, there's no way.
if I just go Pat Mahomes touchdowns, you have to guess. And what I was gonna do is closest one wins, but because it's just you within a certain range, so if it's like a stat where you should be close in the ballpark, I'm gonna go within three. But if it, I'm gonna give a ballpark for each stat, okay? So I am gonna give you a ballpark this time, so to see if you're right, okay? If not, you don't have to be on the nail. But if you are on the nail, it's double points. So,
All right.
sound cool? If you're in the
It's not gonna
ballpark,
go well.
if you're in a ball, if you're in the ballpark, it's 1 point. If you are on the money, it's double the points. Or while you're On your laptop, you can open up another tab and give me stats, but it's up to you.
All right.
All right, let's go. What sports should we start with? Let's go with the NBA. We're gonna go NBA. Now, I'm gonna make this even easier. I was gonna address this to both of you afterwards, but because you seem nervous, they're all league leaders. So no one is like, who is, how many points did,
Okay.
this random player get? No, these are all players you should know or lead statistically, obviously.
Sounds
So
good.
we're gonna go with how many points per game did NBA runner-up at the MVP voting, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, how many points per game did he score? Get
Higher.
this, within 3 points. So you can go three too low, three too high. You have a 6 point range here.
God, my gut off rip is telling me 27. Can I give you a decimal?
Yeah.
All right. That changes things drastically. Three and a half.
What, how many and a half?
Three?
3.5 points per game.
Yeah.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 3.5 points per
Kidding,
game.
Ben. I'm kidding. Jeez. Let me go with, we'll go with 27. We'll go a flat 27.
Flat 27. You just barely get the point. You were the third number too low. He scored an average of 30.1 points per game. If you
Wow.
got 30, I'm giving you two. If it's a point decimal, you're not supposed to get the point decimal.
Okay.
Except for average, but I've only one average question, so. All right, so moving on. So you do have a point, so you have one. We're going to move on to the MLB itself. So far, now this is for so far this season. How many home runs did the man we witnessed? So you saw his stat line 4 to 5 times. How many home runs does Marcell Ozuna have? You get this within, you can go one
This
too low,
season?
one too. Yeah, you can go one too low, one too high. He is right now tied for fourth.
He's been playing well, too.
To make this more interesting, if you ever want to ask what another player stats is, I can just give that to you
No, it's all
straight.
right. I think to, keep it interesting, we won't do that, but we'll go 18.
18. You are incorrect. The league leader has 18 home runs and Kyle Tucker. But Marcell Ozuna is tied fourth with 15 home runs.
What did I have to get it within? Three?
Yeah, you could go 15, 16, or 14. It's within one. Because
Gotcha.
it's they haven't hit that many homers yet so far. If they were in the 30s, I'd start to make it more. So now we go to your bread and butter, last season in the NFL. So within the correct, you have to be within 50. Within 50 yards. How many receiving yards did Tyreek Hill have?
Oh man.
He was number one in the league, and he won by 50 yards to the number two receiver.
He had a lot of yards. I think it was a pretty big number. 'Cause we were talking about could he go to 2,000 at one point.
He didn't get hurt, I think he just misses. I think he's second or third all
I was
time in
gonna say
receiving yards.
it did get derailed by injuries. But it wasn't like, he didn't miss significant time. I'm gonna say feels low, but I'm gonna go 1500 even.
You are incorrect. He was 1 yard away from 1800 even.
What?
1799. Well, I think the record's like 2100 or like just under
That's
2100.
absurd.
So I think it's
I didn't think he
Calvin
got
Ridley.
that high.
Yeah, it's wild. I just think, by the way, this is something I just noticed. I didn't have it in our stats. Did you know that Bobby Wagner still led the league in tackles?
Yeah, dude.
He did anyway. He just always does. He's so old and he still
He's an
does.
animal.
Unreal, unreal. So let's take it back to the NBA, where we're gonna go with How many assists does the MVP three times in 4 years, the Joker, how many assists per game did Nikola Jokic have? He was
Assists are always
third.
lower than I think.
He was third.
He was only third.
Yep.
Do you know who came in first and second?
First was Halliburton, second was Luka.
Wow.
Fourth was Harden, and fifth was James, by the way.
LeBron's still slinging it, man.
You can get within one. So you can go one too short, one too tall.
I think we're getting 12 and a half.
12 and a half. That is incorrect. He had 9 assists per game.
It's always lower than I think.
It's always you did say that, so it's really hard to average a triple double. It
I
shows,
know, and it's
it goes
like
to show.
I always think that so many buckets are being assisted on, and it's like it's such a low number because of so how isolated the game gets.
Yeah, true. And you wonder, when you have a guy like Jamal Murray, he's not gonna, you're not gonna get many assists passing it to him. He kind
That's
of
why I'm
takes it
surprised
himself.
Luke is on there because they play a lot of ISO ball over there.
True, but true. Luka is surprising. Who does he pass to? But now in the postseason makes sense, but in the regular season, who was he passing to? All right,
I mean,
so
their bigs are lob threats, but
true. Let's go to the batting leader of the batting leaders in the MLB. Number two in batting average is Luis Arias. What is his batting average? I'm gonna give you between 0.20, so you can go 0.2 higher, 0.2 lower.
it's always a Luis Arias. It's incredible.
Number one is Betts, though.
Oh, Luis Arias doesn't have it right now?
Is Mookie Betts is number one.
Wow. So what
By
is Arias
points,
do?
by 0.03, Betts has a better average.
Hmm.
So literally tomorrow, Arias could have a better. And also tomorrow, of all people, number three is Wilson Contreras. By tomorrow, he could be the batting average leader too.
That's
And
crazy.
Shohei Ohtani's right there as well.
Who would have thought Wilson Contreras?
Number five is Salvador Perez, who he needed a game or two to take the lead. But the top four, it could change
He's
every
getting
day.
up there in age, isn't
Perez, he's really old. He's ancient.
he? Yeah. Let's go with the
Two
three three.
catchers. What's up?
Three three.
3-3.
Yeah.
So 330
Yeah.
or 333?
No, 330.
Well, it's 333.
Is it
I
really?
gave you the chance to get it on the spot. yes, he is batting one for three for
That's
the whole
crazy.
season. So, yeah, he's batting 333. Betts is leading at 336. Contreras is 330, and Ohtani is 329.
Wow.
Two catchers on the list, which is
Impressive.
crazy to me. Two catchers on the list. All right, so back to the NFL. Who led the league in rushing? This is just a side question. Who do you think?
Man, I should know this one. I feel like there's an easy answer. Is it a trick question? Is it not CMC?
It is CMC. I was
Okay.
messing with you. So, but number three is your man, your fantasy hero, the man out of LA, Kyren Williams.
Crazy.
Within 50 yards, how many yards rushing did he have? The third best rushing yards getter in the league. How many yards does he have? Within 50. He had 315 yards less than the number one CMC.
1,150.
My friend, Kyron Williams had 1,144. You are correct. Off by six. Nice job. CMC had 1,459, and second was Derrick Henry with 1,167. So it was a 300-yard drop from CMC to Derrick.
That's crazy.
Jared Cook only had 20 yards less than Kyron, and Swift had 100 yards less. So that's crazy. It's from CMC down. It's not even close.
Such a big jump.
All right, the last sweep of the major three sports. The league leader in blocks was Victor Wembanyama. But your biggest enemy of a block kind of player is Anthony Davis. He's fourth in the league. How many blocks per game did he have? This one, because it's so small, I'm going to need the decimal, and I'm going to need it between 0.5. You have a 0.5 buffer.
Let's go with blocks are tough to get, man. Let's go with 1.7.
Wow. You were 0.1 off. He was 2.3. So you did not get the point. You thought you had the 1 point. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, 2.3. Which, by the way, from he was tied for third, technically tied for fourth, because Kessler and Lopez had 2.4. Then you go up to Wembanyama at 3.6. Like Wembanyama was beyond the blocks.
Crazy.
So, all right, that will end NBA's portion. Let's go to MLB with our final stat.
I just got a notification here.
Yeah.
Sixers plotting Butler reunion. 76ers would offer Jimmy Butler max contract extension if they pull off trade with Heat. That would be the end of me watching basketball. That would be it.
If Butler goes to the Sixers?
Yep, that would be it.
Really?
Yeah, throw in the towel.
You'd still watch basketball, my friend.
I don't know, man.
You'd still watch basketball. I watched my childhood hero go to another team, and I still watched.
Yeah, but it wasn't Philly.
It doesn't matter who. Yeah, it does. You hate Philly.
Philly's taken too much from me already.
Yeah, they took Saquon from you. It would have been a bad 2024 for you if that happened.
I know, man.
They take everything you love. Wait, the Mets are the Phillies are going to find a way to find a Lindor and Pete Alonso on their team. There's no one they really want from the Mets, my friend. I'm sorry. But the strikeouts is very valuable. But I think the most important pitcher stat is ERA. Now, coming out of Boston, Tanner Houck has surprised everyone with an incredible ERA. This is meant for Rob. I'm sorry, Liam, but you have the answer now. So, Tanner Houck has had an incredible ERA. But he's only fourth. What is its ERA? Can you get it within 0.30. Number one is Seth Lugo out of Kansas City. Two is Ranger Suarez out of Philly. Three is Lopez from Atlanta. And fifth is Olsen from Detroit.
2.0 clean.
2.0 clean. My friend, you get 1 point because he has 1.9. So that will end baseball. I lost count of your points. Have you kept count?
A million.
Well, that's good enough for me.
So many points.
No one wins, so it doesn't. You technically win because you have the most points. It's just a battle of your own sanity here. Finally, Deron Bland broke so many records with his pick sixes, but how many total interceptions did he have to lead the league in? And by the way, every time I look at the stat, you know how you said assists are always lower than you think? Interception totals, I'm not kidding, are always lower than I
Yeah.
think. No one gets picks anymore, like for a lot. They just don't throw to the player anymore.
Tough man. I don't even remember how many pick sixes he had. I think it was like four or five. It five?
Unbelievable. Five pick sixes in a season is crazy.
That is insane.
One of them was against McCorkle Jones when he was a Patriot. Macaroni Arm Jones.
With nine.
For 2 points. He had nine interceptions to end it. You got it right on the money to end it. That's awesome.
No.
So did you was that your only on the money? Or did you have another one?
That was it.
Awesome.
Although
Well,
I do think that Kyron Williams guess should have been on the money.
true. That was so close. So I have to say, you did very well. But before we go, we have to mention that we have new merch out. If you want this face that you see on the screen here on my screen, you want this face on a shirt, you can buy that. If you want Liam's face on a shirt, you can buy that. If you want Rob's face on a shirt, I don't know why, but you can buy that. So
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't, but so just go to we're gonna post on socials after this episode releases of how to get this merch and go over there, buy it. You can donate to us too if you want. You don't have to, but you know, it'd be very nice of you. But
Please.
oh please. So, yes, we have new merch out, and hopefully there'll be more new things coming along the way this summer as we transition. I will be also trying to expand this podcast in any way or means necessary. And I would also like to thank you all for listening, because you guys are also, I've just learned that we are being listened to around the world. We have hit every continent besides Antarctica. We have hit 6 out of 7. I'll take it, but those people
Coming
in
soon,
Antarctica,
Antarctica.
yeah, come on. You gotta listen in. I would like to thank you all for listening. You can follow us on our socials at Dear Hollow Heroes. You can also email us through dearhollowheroes@gmail.com. Message us and let us know about the topics we discuss. Give us a take of your own. You can listen to us on most platforms where you get your podcast. And I want to thank Liam and Rob. Hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day. And also thank you, Frank, for emailing us again. He thinks that he was the reason that we lost our basketball game, Liam, because he was messing with my shot in warm-ups. I'm not going to describe what he did, but what he did can mess up most people while they're shooting around.
What did
So,
he do?